Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and a very special Happy New Year, our first show of 2011. It's the NLP show, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and we have special in-studio guest Frank Clemente. Hey, Frank.
Dave, hi. How are you? Nice to see you. I saw you last year, didn't I?
Yes, you did. When was it? It was about a week ago.
About a week ago, yes.
That's right. And so you're excited. What did you do for New Year's?
I slept.
You slept? What did you...
Alone.
You slept through New Year's? Really?
Yes.
Starting on Friday?
Yes, I did.
You did?
It was my only time I had to relax.
Oh, really? So was it really relaxing?
It was relaxing.
Did you dream of New Year's resolutions?
You know, I did. As a matter of fact, I did a little exercise.
You did? What was it?
Well, it's what we call core transformation.
Yeah, and...
Mm-hmm. And this was about to change my my future.
Yeah, and did it? Mm-hmm.
And then to be able to set up a plan to do it.
Oh, good. Well, see, everyone should be having a plan because some people call it New Year's resolutions. I call it New Year's evolutions.
Well, there you go. So it evolves from what they've been doing and not doing.
Well, you know, and that's important. That's very important because I think the obstacles or the things that people notice about New Year's resolutions are that you make them and then they break them, and they break them rather quickly. And I have a theory about that. You want to hear what it is?
Okay.
All right. Here's the theory, ladies and gentlemen. It's basically, rather than resolutions and setting goals, it might be appropriate along with a goal to change the behaviors that sabotage your goals and also add behaviors that support your goals. So the key might be looking at your behaviors, which are from habits.
Right. And then so you look at your habits and what kind of habits... I'm sure there's a lot of friends who tell you about these habits, and maybe you don't pay any attention to what they tell you, and maybe there's a situation where you should pay attention to your habits.
Well, there's no doubt, but I think a good exercise right now for people, unless you're driving, you might make a mental note. What are some new behaviors that would be supportive of your goals? I mean, you know, certain behaviors... Like behaviors of discipline. What if you saved X, had a certain target savings per week, and you put it immediately in your savings account or automatic withdrawal? That'd be one. Or maybe exercise. Have a certain type of schedule that would create a sense of discipline. Exercise. So adding new behaviors would be the way to... The first thing in supporting your goals.
Well, and before that, I see you make a decision, what behaviors do you need to change? There's what you want to change and what you need to change. So, and sometimes they're incongruent.
Well, yeah, often they're incongruent. So what you're really saying is list new behaviors, but also look at the behaviors that you may have to transform. That could be acting as things that sabotage your goals. For example, in certain contexts, procrastination. How has that hurt you before? And it does. I mean, most people, when they procrastinate in conjunction with less value priorities, they never get their dreams. I mean, from writing a book to doing something they really want to do, and it ends up doing less important stuff, sort of the urgent stuff, rather than the long-term valuable stuff.
Right. So you're talking about trying to take care of short-term things and not and overlooking or putting off to a side what you should do on the long term. And this brings us to another thing is the concept of pain and pleasure.
Uh-huh.
And one of the questions to ask oneself, what if I don't do it? How's that going to affect me? And if I do it, how is that going to change me? Things like that. So there are questions that a person needs to ask.
Well, Tony Robbins is really good at that in his book, Unlimited Power. It might be in Awaken the Giant Within.
The Giant Within.
It was in that one. And he'll always ask the pain-inducing questions. What will it cost me financially, emotionally, spiritually, physically, if I don't make this change? And it brings up certain things into your awareness. Otherwise, people just cover it up. The pain sometimes is motivating. And that's how Tony uses it, pain, and you mentioned pleasure. So, what will I achieve? What will be created in my life for my kids, for family, friends, if I do this behavioral change or get this goal? And that's the other side of it, the pleasure part of it. What can I experience that would be incredibly pleasurable? So, I think people just don't know how to set goals. They'll just have these goals without changing behaviors. That doesn't work very well.
Right. So there's a need to understand what are the steps that lead to achieving a goal, or what are the steps, because a resolution really is a goal. It's a goal-setting thing, activity. So you want to be able to say, okay. And then a lot of people, they take, for instance, I'm going to exercise. So they, exercise for an hour or two, and they're exhausted, and they say, I don't think I want to exercise anymore.
Well, it's a long-term commitment. You're right. And I think people, that's a behavior. That's an attitude. It's also a thinking process on how you can start really looking long-term, integrating your long-term goals with short-term goals. And I think one technique is, we've talked about it, chunking down, is look at it one step at a time. So many people get overwhelmed because they have everything bunched up in their head somewhere, that they have to do everything all at once. That's not true. Do one part of one thing every day. Plant the seed. You can't plant a tree and have it grow the next day.
No. No, you can't.
Yeah, you can't. Well, yeah, you know about that.
I know about that because I tried planting a money tree and I just couldn't get it to work.
But you know what I'm talking about is that, if people have the patience, and that's another behavior I think that would be well worth learning, how to establish patience, how to integrate patience in your behavioral vocabulary. I think that's really important, patience, because so many people are overwhelmed because they're in a hurry to get everything all at once. And how about in sports? I mean, you can't win the game in the first inning. You got to play the nine innings. And I think part of, I heard the word or phrase the other day, I think it was one of the football games I was watching? It might have been game management. Well, how about life management? How about, business management?
I think life management is a great thing. And, when you go to a school, high school, or college, there is no life management, because you can go to, and then cramming, when the kids, they cram. And I used to cram for an exam, and that's the last minute thing. And so either you make it or you break it, So it's better if you take the steps to, say, in study, you want to get an A in an exam. Well, you don't want to try to do the A just 24 hours before the exam.
Yeah, and that most people, again, that's the motivation by pain, because they know the consequences. If they don't study, they wait the last moment, and the consequences get so great that they finally get motivated. But that's sort of stressful, a stressful way to live. So I think behaviors and also skills of success. What are some of the skills of success? Now, I think there's what I call the three P's would be very helpful. One is present moment living. Live in the present moment. Two, what do you think two is? The three P's, passion.
Passion.
And purpose.
And purpose.
Mm-hmm. So those three, hey, that was good. You were looking at my notes, perhaps.
Yes, I was. That's how I know.
But I think, if people really look at it and want to make changes, behavioral changes and thought changes, is that start to learn how to live in the present moment rather than regretting the past and being anxious about the future. That one thing's missing. If you look at the past and future all the time, You forget to live right here, right now, and your life zip by, and guess what?
Well, you know, Dave, you can take those three P's and turn them around, you know, procrastination, pass it over, and...
You're thinking of another one. He didn't think this one through, did he? Okay, so he's using some religious...
And put it off.
Oh, there you go. We knew that. Well, isn't that like procrastination? Just repackaged?
Just repackaged. Well, that's what I'm saying.
What was the other one? Pass it over? Sounds like a dinner table type of mannerism. Pass it over here. Or it could have been the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, right?
Well, it could have.
But Passover. Right? So
that's a different concept.
Maybe not. But so I really think that people really should pay attention now and really look at identifying behaviors that don't work, add behaviors that do work, and see how that will work in support of their goals. Because I really think people just go ahead and set goals without changing behaviors. No wonder why most New Year's resolutions will stop within a week or two. In fact, I was walking into my office today, and here it is, January 3rd, and I see someone smoking outside. And I go, wow, his resolution probably didn't last very long. Or maybe it wasn't a resolution. Maybe he just thought, well, this is too pleasurable. But then the consequences, sadly, on that may not be really good.
Well, Dave, what steps do you recommend to what processes would you use to accomplish a goal?
Well, you know, if you break down goals from the most successful people, how they view goals, you know,
yeah.
And they really view it as a series of outcomes. Because one of the most important things in setting goals is to choose an outcome, an aspect of that goal that is under your control, that is strictly right. Initiated and controlled by you. So if you say, I want to make a sale, you know, I want more money, I want to be famous, I want to have more clients, for example, or I want to make, you know, higher commissions, greater salary, anything like that, it's not necessarily phrased in a way that's under your control. Well, how you would phrase it is take what's one aspect of making more money? Well, one aspect under your control is increasing and upgrading your skill level.
And it could be your language patterns.
It could be, too, also that. But you got to figure out what's under your control under those general goals. And people really don't learn that properly, how to set goals and reduce it to a series of outcomes and steps at its smallest component level under your control. But that's because people want the goal now, quick, fast. And I believe that if they develop patience, and we talked about patience in terms of a great skill, a great behavior, a great thought process, and set, you know, every day do something under your control, it will eventually lead to you attaining that goal.
Right. And it doesn't mean that you have to work 8 hours on that particular goal. You could work maybe an hour today,
yeah.
2 hours the next, maybe 30 minutes, but you're on your way and you look at the outcomes. Another thing, too, is to have measurable aspects of it.
Oh, yeah.
How do you measure your progress? And how do you measure whether you've made, say, step number one or step number two?
Well, there's no doubt, and that's a behavioral change, I believe, partly. It may be a skill level change, but a lot of people don't even track, let's say, finances. They don't even reconcile the bank account, or they don't have a tracking system like an accounting system, maybe QuickBooks or Quicken or something. That's the first step, is you got to pay attention. If you don't pay attention, you don't know where your money's going or where it's coming from.
Well, you don't know where you're going.
Yeah. It's like driving without direction. You might end up there. You may not, but more than likely not. So
what I hear you saying, Dave, is that for a goal, it'd be nice to set up a map.
Yes.
And you set up a map, and these maps have certain arrivals, and you arrive at a certain destination. Maybe there's 10 destinations before you arrive at the big one.
Yeah, well, I call it markers, and when we come back from our break, we're going to continue our discussion on New Year's evolutions. We'll call it evolutions, not resolutions, and we'll be right back with more neuro-linguistic programming.
able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? I'm Kara Lee with GPS Heroes, and with our plug-and-play GPS device, you can set geofences, get speeding alerts, and a full report card each week with driver reports and mileage, all to your computer or handheld device. It's easy to get and easy to use, in real time, with no service contracts. Just go to gpsheroes.org/21 and order yours today. That's gpsheroes.org/21.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the NLP show, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. Special in-studio guest and great student of NLP is Frank Clemente.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That was it. Thank you.
That's it.
All right. Oh, you're talking real quick now.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Anyway, you're going to be here tomorrow, the Green Roundtable from 3 to 4. That's going to be great. And we have some special guests.
Yes, and we're all wearing green.
We are? Is
yes,
it St. Patrick's Day?
No, it's Green Roundtable Day.
Oh, yeah, of course. I didn't know that. Of course I knew that.
We also going to have a green flag.
That's right. Are we?
Yes.
Wow. You're really doing a major overhaul then. But New Year's evolutions, I really think people should take note. See, if you think about it, Frank, how many people really intentionally want to have the same, if it was not a great year, the same type of not great year again in 2011? But they got to think it a little deeply, or deeper, I should say. They need to know if they want to make changes, if they want changes to happen, they have to make the change. The change is within them, not in the external. They're waiting for maybe the economy to get better, and maybe it'll get a little bit better. But the truth is, if you want changes to occur outside, they must occur inside first and foremost. Frank Clemente, what do you say?
They're always that way.
Yeah.
It's always that way. You cannot change the outside unless you change the inside.
So why do people ignore that, or they find it
too
hard?
It's too much work.
Maybe that's it. Maybe,
too much effort.
And maybe too much pain. What does Kurt think? Kurt.
Yeah.
Oh, I surprised Kurt. He's there he is. He's putting on his headset.
We woke him up.
Yeah, we did wake him up. So, Kurt, why do you think people don't want to change, or maybe it's not they don't want to. Is it too hard
they
for
don't
people?
Know how.
Or they don't know how.
They probably just don't want to follow through with what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, they made a New Year's resolution, and that's good, but then they do it in their head and not in their heart.
Yeah.
And so therefore they don't follow through with it. They go, oh, well, I've already missed, like you were saying, the guy smoking outside of your office today. Well, I've already blown it, so I'll just forget the whole thing.
Yeah.
So they don't really make a serious resolution.
Ah, there we go.
Well, I think a great thing that I perceive you're saying is that it's not an intellectual process. It's a process in the feeling world.
Yeah.
And if your feeling world doesn't get transformed, that brain isn't going to follow.
Right, right. You know, people like their bad habits on the one hand.
Yes.
They love to overeat. They love to smoke or drink or whatever. And now all of a sudden, I'm just going to stop it cold turkey. Not too many people do that.
So you're talking about comfort zone, and comfort zone has a feeling to it.
Sure.
And so if you feel, oh, this is okay the way things are, it'll be okay. Well, that's part of the procrastination scene.
Absolutely. We love to procrastinate.
Yeah, that's like the famous play, to procrastinate or not to procrastinate.
To procrastinate.
Oh, no, that's
the
be or not to be. Now, you know, Kurt, you said something, and both Frank and Kurt said something interesting, is that you said they love their bad habits. It's actually they love what the bad habits will do for them. It's the payoff.
That's true. It's a payoff.
Yes. Payoff and the gain, or they call it in psychology, secondary gain. What's the gain they get from having a bad habit? So So you've heard this before when people get sick. You know,
there's a gain to that.
The gain is
that's how I get my attention.
Yeah, exactly, attention. And so that's, you know, I'm not saying that's always the case.
And I haven't been sick in about 7 years, so I'm a little worried.
You're starving for attention.
Yes, I'm starving for attention.
But rather than get sick, are there other better and more healthier ways to get attention? Maybe it's to give attention, right?
I think giving attention is better.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Because if you add love to that, now you're not only helping yourself, and that brings something else that... the more anger and resentment that you have towards others, you just feed that into your cell structure.
Yeah, well, I agree. So I think there's a lot of things that people can think about this year that would be different. And it doesn't have to be all at once. And Kurt, we were talking earlier about they want to make immediate changes in their entire life. You know, I have a seminar called Redesigning Your Life that I'm going to be doing probably in later January.
Right.
It should be just take small steps. I mean, because the small steps will lead to significant changes. But people want it, and they want it now.
They don't want to have to go through the pain of changing what it is they're trying to change.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, and that's why they make the same resolution year after year.
Mm-hmm. Keeps coming back.
It's coming back. It comes back. So if we can say, okay, don't change your resolutions. Keep the same ones you're talking about, but let's try a different way of accomplishing it.
Yeah, I like that. Mr. Frank, that's brilliant,
sure,
actually.
Sure.
A different way of doing it. And some of the ways you can start to make changes in your life is certainly, like I said, one step at a time, but also maybe start to look at your skills. I mean, part of what you do or what you don't do is based on your skill level. So why don't you pick a skill that you'd want to develop or existing skill and enhance it? That's just one aspect of it. The other is learn how to identify what creates bad habits at an unconscious level. And a lot of people right now are saying, oh, that's too much work. Well,
that's why they come to the course.
Yeah, but and
that's what Tony Robbins does.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, he's sitting there saying, you know, you don't realize how you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it's really learning things that you don't know. And Frank, we've talked about it, the third level of thinking. I mean, people sort of operate in the first level. They just do what they know.
Mm-hmm.
But what are the things that you have no clue about that you could research, that you could ask people, you could call this program? We could suggest things that, wow, have you ever thought of this? And most of the time they'll say, no, I had no idea that even existed.
Sure.
And if you didn't know it exists, then you're not going to use it. But if you used it and your life changed, and if you don't want to do it for you, do it for your kids, for example, let their life be better. That might be a great purpose and a great reason to change.
Absolutely.
As an example.
Another aspect is to say we're playing a movie in our minds, and that is to pretend you're somebody else looking back at yourself, and then pretend you're a third person looking back at how you two talk to each other, you know, your alter ego and yourself. In other words, you can make a game out of it, sort of a fun thing.
You can, and there's no doubt. You know, and there's some other things that I've been looking at. You know, when people get overwhelmed, I think there's a difference between emotional time and actual time. Think about that, emotional time and actual time. So if someone has a dislike for a certain task, in their mind, emotional time, they blow it up as overwhelming.
Right. And it really isn't that bad.
Yeah, what if it really took 5 minutes, but
sure,
they procrastinate? And the things they don't like, they don't know how to get over and to really see the value in the things they don't like, or maybe eliminate it. If you don't have to do it, don't do it.
Sure.
But don't keep getting upset about it. But usually it's something important. You could delegate. But more importantly is to be able to think differently, the difference between emotional time and actual time. And just by thinking that, it starts to take the sting away too.
Sure.
Because how much would it... I mean, Frank, you probably had projects that you probably don't like to do or certain tasks.
Right.
And when you think about it, you go, oh, I don't want to do it. But in your mind, it's overwhelming, and it seems like a lot greater than maybe if it took 7 minutes to do.
And one technique that I learned about handling overwhelm, because you feel overwhelmed, is to take one part. In other words, overwhelm is things are swimming all around you and you don't know what to do and you feel very small. So if you can just pick one item and isolate that item, it gives you a sense of stability and a point of reference and a datum point in order to start. So that's one technique that I use on myself.
That's a good technique, actually.
Well, and that's similar to what sports people do. I mean, you're saying, let's take a small chunk and don't look at the overall, the whole thing. You know what your overall goal is, but take a small chunk, get that, you know, taken care of, and then move on to the next one. What do sports people do? One game at a time.
Yeah.
They make fun of them for saying it all the time, but the sports guys are absolutely right. I can't worry about the whole season at once. I've got to take it one game at a time, because if I don't, I'll never get to that goal.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And in hockey, they'll say one shift at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one period at a time, whatever, you know, one play at a time. And, and the key there is execution. Unlike the Rams Seattle, the Rams had some poor execution going on in that game. That's something for the sports show. But,
sure.
But execution and being able to properly manage your thoughts. How about thought management? Hey, I just thought of that. I'm going to write that down. Thought management.
It goes along with life management, because thought management is part of life management. I think life management is the bigger picture. And the thought management is one part.
Or one thought at a time.
Sure. But people can do that with a lot, even for good things or for bad. You were mentioning how they might use, they'll think of a task they have to do. They don't want to do it. They blow it out of proportion. What if you do it the other way? Gee, I got a vacation coming up in 2 weeks. And they get that emotionalism about it now.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking so forward to that. They have their vacation. And then even 2 weeks after, remember that vacation I had 2 weeks ago? Oh, that was so much fun. Well, but they have chosen now to make it a good thing as opposed to a bad.
And, you know, it's interesting is that people also think they don't have choices. But happiness
is a choice.
It is a choice. And I think people don't realize it because they're so connected to external things, events, and circumstances creating the happiness versus happiness coming first and really going from inside to outside. That's a skill level. That's also how to think differently. People really should start to learn these things. I think Tony Robbins has something really good going on there. And I think that is our commentary for today with the NLP Show. Frank, thank you for coming
in. Thank you for asking.
Absolutely. And I'm going to see you tomorrow at the Green Roundtable.
Yes.
3 to 4. And, of course, the bottom line tomorrow with Mitchell Spean is from 2 to 3. And stay tuned for the Entrepreneurial Spirit with a very special guest. A great experience, and we'll be right back.